What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 11th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. If you're in Kansas City, I'm going to be at the Kansas City Royals game tomorrow. That is Amai versus Avila, I believe. It's going to be a lot of fun. And so if you're in the area and you're going to be at the game, just let me know. I would love to meet up with you and just say hi. It's great to meet the community whenever I go into a new city. We have to deal with Robbie Ray at the moment. 5.2 innings, 500 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. And I do know that he did have a little bit of careful Icarus. It did happen later on in the game. However, this has been a cliff he has fallen off over the past 5 games or so. And it's either two problems, right? Either he's injured in some way, or there's some weirdness going on that is taking him out of rhythm. Let it be a release point on his slider. His landing foot isn't right. The timing is wrong. Gripping the ball. It's just all this stuff, right? I'm trying to grab at straws here because you never really know what is going on with the guy. And the number one thing I always look at when it comes to deciding if a guy is just going through a moment or if there is something underlying that is a problem, it's A, track record, sure, but B, really, what's the fastball velocity? Is it the same or is it different? And it's the same for Robbie Ray. It's actually a little bit higher. And in fact, his secondaries all had 1 to 2 ticks extra velocity in this game. So no, it's not injury, right? And that's a good thing because it does mean that he could have a tiara and turn it around right away, and we could take off that tiara as soon as next start. And the real issue at the problem, the real issue at the root of the problem is the slider at the moment. It was initially the four-seamer that wasn't getting located at all. Now it's actually upstairs. It earned over 70% strikes in this. The changeup is looking good down away to right-handers. No, it's the slider that has had a 43% strike rate or lower in 4 of his last 5 games. And keep in mind, all of his 9 starts before then, Robbie Ray didn't once have a slider at 43% strikes or fewer, right? That is a problem, was 36% strikes in this one on that slide piece. And you got to think that's going to return. That has been the pitch for Robbie Ray for so long that, okay, he got the four-seamer back, but now he's lost the slider. So then the next step is the slider. And when he has that, then we're good. So I am saying, in general, if you can, you hold on to Robbie Ray. However, he does get Hotlanta, and I cannot tell you to start him against Hotlanta. So if you really do need help now, I understand dropping Robbie Ray. In fact, you might have dropped him a couple starts ago, and that was a good thing, right? I also will say, if you can afford it, to wait and just see if he has a slider feel at least back for Atlanta, I would do that in those cases. Now, Brandon Young against the Mariners, 7 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. He's boasted a 2.59 ERA and a 1.13 whip across his last 7 games. And he's returned at least 6 innings in 5 of those games. It's kind of wild, right? Brandon Young was the lead for Jake Crumpler last weekend. And yes, he'll be returning this week, and he's doing such an amazing job. And with Brandon Young, he's kind of boring, right? He has a four-seamer that does get a little bit extra vert, sure. He has a splitter that sometimes works. There's a slider that can get whiffs to right-handers at times. He had 6 over 14 whiffs here, but it was 50% strikes, so he just got one other strike than a whiff on that slider. And I don't really know if I want to buy into this with Brandon Young. Is there enough whiffability here? Is there enough of a ceiling? Sure, the sinker getting inside to right-handers is good and will let him go deeper into games like this. It's more of a 15-team play, though, than a 12-teamer, because I feel like the floor is just so low, and I don't really feel as if he can repeat it a second time against the same team, but it is in Seattle. It feels like a trap to me, but I totally don't blame anyone chasing this, especially in a quality start league in your 12-teamers. I just think that there isn't enough in the concoction to suggest sustainability in someone that you really like that you have on your fantasy teams. Now, who you really love on your fantasy team is Drew Rasmussen. Oh my gosh, this is the ceiling finally coming out. 20 whiffs for a golden goal as he took down Boston in Tampa Bay. Now, Tampa Bay is a wonderful place to pitch. This is what we were dreaming when Drew Rasmussen was in Georgetown Brandon Field last year. And we're like, man, when he gets to the Trop, it's going to be so good. You combine that with the worst team against right-handed pitching in the majors, and this is what you get. It really did feel like one of those starts that could have been a perfect game. He threw an amazing 0-2 changeup down and away that Yoshida just dunked into the outfield. It was annoying. And then he also had a sinker down the middle of the plate. He shouldn't have thrown. Fine. But the cutter, so good. Inside two lefties, down and in. Oh my gosh. So many whiffs there. It is the best version of Drew Rasmussen. It's really fun. I'm excited about this. And also, yeah, near 100 pitches. And oh my gosh, Davis Martin against Hotlanta. I said last time out that he had 600 runs against the Twins. And I was like, you know what? It feels like he's getting a lot worse with his sinker command. This isn't going to work out. Yeah, I should have just kept going with the Vargas rule and treated that like the mulligan we often give guys like this who are so deep into it that like one game isn't enough to hit the wall. This was 6 innings, 0 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. Against Atlanta, got the win. Now he gets the Yankees and Tigers. So this start featured 4-seamers with super high swing strike rates, really high strike rates on the slider and cutter. If he replicates that, yeah, he's going to do well against Yankees. He's going to do well against the Tigers. I think it's in your best interest just to act like that twin start now was the mulligan, because if you take down Atlanta like this, you got to give it a shot given how good he's been before that. You have Shota Imanaga. Thank you. If you remember last week, Shota Imanaga, I wrote that he was a great buy low after being such a great sell high. So it was a sell high. Then he had 4 straight starts with 5, 6, 7, 8 earned runs among them. And to me, it was, well, hold on a second. The 4-seamer and the splitter were looking good. It was the other pitches that were punished. And that really means, okay, you just don't throw those the same way. You just get a little bit more picky with them. And you should be fine. And this was inside of Corazon. Shota, 5 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts, 18 whiffs. That is his third game in 4 with 16, 17, 18 whiffs. He likes his consecutive things, right? Yes, there was that one bad one with 4 whiffs, and we just don't want to talk about that game against the Cardinals. That was just outright bad. But 92 mile per hour, 4-seamers here. He's going to host the Rockies in Wrigley next. It's Wrigley, but it's also Rocky Road. I think you just keep rolling with it now, and I want to believe that Shota is back on the path of being an AGA once again. Ryan Gusso, actually, I know I could skip over this with 4 innings of 0 runs, whatever, but 4 base runners and 4 Ks against us next, and he's kind of interesting. I think he has decent stuff here as a wide arsenal with good vert and good movement. It's just, it's interesting. Pay attention to it. Against the Phillies, he'll go against the Giants and the Cardinals after. And by then, he might be stretched out closer to 80 pitches instead of the 66 here. Maybe he doesn't even stick around. I don't know. If he's stretched to 75 pitches against the Phillies and looks good, consider that against the Giants and the Cardinals. Reed Detmers, oh man, he destroyed the Dodgers. And I was really skeptical because he had such a low strike rate for 2 straight with his slider. I was like, this is something he got away with. Jake Crumpler agreed, and what happened? Oh my gosh, he took down the Astros. It was amazing. 7 innings, 1 run, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 9 strikeouts. He went 5 no-hit, actually perfect. And this was a case of the slider not being a low strike rate. No, it was an 82% strike rate, the 48% CSW, but it wasn't the back foot one. It was just all over the plate. And yes, he did have some of those that were back foot fine for some whiffs, but most of this was just high in the zone and then in the zone middle down. 0 hits on the pitch. Very interesting in my view of just how believable is this? How sustainable is it? There is a large difference between his 4-seamer and slider when it comes to vert. It's 17 to 18 inches and then about 3 inches negative, which means 20 inches of drop, sometimes up to like 15 inches of vertical drop on the slider to the 4-seamer, which is really large when it comes in within 10 miles per hour different. So maybe it has to do with that. I don't know. I feel skeptical about this. This was also an unsustainable CSW, right, as I mentioned, on that slider after 2 games under a 60% strike rate. And it just feels like an outlier game. But then again, you know, it's the snakes next. So, all right, give it a shot there and let's hope it holds. Brandon Sproat, by the way. Yeah, this has been a ridiculous season of just, what was it, 1 game under 200 runs since April 16th. And now he's on his last lifeline inside the Milwaukee Brewers rotation, is going against the Athletics in Vegas. And he goes 6 innings, 100 runs, 5 base runners, 3 Ks, and 68 pitches. What on earth? He loved this his cutter in this one. Played well to left-handers, but man, I cannot trust this. It was Koufax helping him out. 3 Ks, right? 8 whiffs. I hope it really means that his confidence is back up and the Brewers are confident in him, and then it starts a good stretch, but I'm not ready to jump back in there. Foster Griffin is a Toby, and they did Toby things at San Francisco. We love that. Jesus Luzardo did his normal stuff, 5.2 innings and 8 strikeouts and 1 run. Now, he did have 4 walks, but really, it was 2 of them in that 6th inning, and it's Luzardo. He's a cherry bomb. You love him. Michael Lorenzen had his best game in ages, 5 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 2 walks, 7 Ks. In Coors, and it was because the Cubs are just laboring so much. It is a horrible stretch. What is it, 7-22 across their last 29, something like that? It's really bad. And Lorenzen, I guess, took advantage of that morale. Seth Lugo took a comebacker to the forehead. I'm so happy he's okay. He walked off on his own volition. I don't know if he's going to start the next one. I kind of hope they don't, because I'm sure there's some concussion protocol they should be going through or whatever, but yeah, we can just ignore this one for the most part. You had a bullpen game for the Twins. Mike Paredes starting this one. Does not matter. Peter Lambert against the Angels. 6.1 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. His slider had a bad strike rate at 52%, but the 4-seamer slider and changeup were excellent. He got lots of strikeouts on the 4-seamer upstairs, 4 of them. Located well for the most part, save for 2 fastballs, one against Mike Trout and one against Logan Ohapi, both hit it out of the yard. Fine. We're happy that it was solo shots. This is a situation where those solo shots could have been a 2-run blast or a 3-run blast, and then all of a sudden it's a 4-run game, and then everyone's unhappy, right? And literally, that is the difference between these productive outings and the not productive ones, is just when did you allow the home run? It is so frustrating to me how much that sways everything. So just keep that in mind. I consider him a Toby moving forward. Andre Palante finally did the thing I've been waiting for, and he did it against the Mets, which means 6 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. Yes! And what was the thing? Well, you remember it. It was 4 seamers inside to lefties. It was all in the inner third. In fact, 2 of the 3 hits he allowed were 4 seamers, 2 lefties that were not on the inner third. They were kind of middle down away, and you also had one more hit. What was that? Oh, right. A horrible slider down the middle of the plate to Alvarez, who just appropriately just knocked it out of the park. There you go. But that's cool to see Alvarez throw that force in the right spot. But here's the thing. I was really excited because he was throwing 88 to 89 mile per hour sliders. And if he did the four seamer right, then all of a sudden you've got this wonderful recipe for success. And no, it's down to 86, 87. Oh, man. Okay. I also don't trust that the four-seamer is going to have this command moving forward, because this is really like the first game that he's done it right. He's done it maybe once or twice others, but it's just not something I'm ready to buy into. So with the Padres as a right-hander and then Atlanta after this, no thank you. Then you have Brady Singer going against the Padres, and he had one of his best starts. 6 innings, 200 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. That's really cool. And he avoided the heart of the plate, unless it was against right-handers where he just threw a ton of sinkers down the middle of the plate and they just said, sure, why not? We'll just take that for a strike. Yeah, it's one of those days. I do not buy it. Chris Sale, ace is going to ace, 5.2 innings, 200 runs. He had a really nice, beautiful play, and I'm so happy he didn't hurt a rib doing it. We got to talk about Mackenzie Gore and Jared Jones and Shohei Ohtani and Michael King and so many others. Oh gosh, Ryan Nelson. I'm going to do that and more after this break. 5 innings, 200 runs, 8 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks for Mackenzie Gore, and a golden goal? No. Just a King Cole, 13 whiffs here, but he had a really high CSW, about 35%. And I'm not sold. He had some really good 4-seamers up and some good curveballs down, but there were so many that were over the plate, and that's why you had that really high 8-hit total. Also, 3 walks in there. This is against the Royals. I'm not really on board. However, it is one of those starts that is a step forward. And generally, we don't see just really bad, oh my gosh, amazing. We do see these mini steps. And that could be this for Mackenzie Gore, but I'm just not ready to buy in. Jared Jones against the Dodgers, it was a very quiet game. 4 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk in, 4 Ks, and 75 pitches, and was taken out after that, which is a little disappointing. he could have allowed more damage, but Brian Reynolds snatched a home run over the fence and brought it back, which is really nice. This was a little bit of too many heaters missing high above the zone, and the curveball and changeup were just not there. While the slider was finding the zone a good amount, getting lots of strikes and really helping. I'm going to expect better in the future, but right, this is the start of the gauntlet for Jared Jones, and should be happy that he got something out of this, a one whip and four Ks, sure, two earned runs, whatever, but this is okay for those who've been holding on, because now it's Sacrovaird and then Coors. Not fun, but I'm going to continue starting Jared Jones. Shohei Ohtani, as I just mentioned, pitching this one, and it was 6.2 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. So, not great, but a careful Icarus. I mean, he had a 1 whip and 1 earned run through 6. All right, that's really it to report here. His secondaries was a sweeper and nothing else, really. So it was just fastball sweeper. And if he had the feel of others, maybe he could have avoided that. Michael King is the king without his crown. 6.2 innings of 300 runs as well. 7 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. Less impressive than Ohtani's. And this was just... he's not really utilizing the whole arsenal in the way that we see him surgically take down batters usually. And it's been a bit of a struggle lately. Even though you have a 3.46 ERA and a 1.15 whip for the season, you have a 6.45 ERA and a 1.39 whip and 13% strikeout rate across his last 4 games. Yeah, it was like a 27% strikeout rate before this. So he gets the Cardinals next, which is cool. This was hosting Cincinnati, not even in Cincinnati. And then we are going to have a very tough decision with Michael King against the Dodgers and Atlanta. Oh boy. Not looking forward to that. I really hope that his crossbody mechanics can find its rhythm before the Dodgers in Atlanta, because then it's just, we got a bench? Do we hold? Is he a hipster? Oh my gosh. Carlos Rodon gave us a Bailey special. And that is a win against the Guardians in 6 innings, 300 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 7 strikeouts. He just didn't have his changeup at this one. So last game, it wasn't the slider. Can you have all three, and then we can actually really feel like you're an ace again? That'd be cool. George Kirby went 10 strikeouts in 6 innings, but it was also a very, very poor quality start with 300 runs, 7 hits, and 3 walks. He got the loss here. Also, 13 whiffs in those 10 strikeouts. Not what you want, right? I thought I was going to see a lot of sweeper whiffs away finally to righties, and we did get them more away to right-handed batters, but George Kirby only got 1 whiff on his sweeper. I don't get it. He doesn't throw inside to right-handers with anything. You got to throw those sinkers inside to right-handers. You have all the things are right there, and you're just not doing it. I don't get it. But Nick, he had 10 strikeouts. I know. But those ratios are bad. He got the loss. Like, this is not the prime form of George Kirby. You have Jack Perkins in Vegas going 4 innings and 300 runs. That's honestly okay. And the real takeaway is that he had 89 pitches. So it looks like Athletics are leaning into Jack Perkins. I don't want to go for it. I want to wait to see him actually really excel. Parker Messick against the Yankees. 5.2 innings of 4 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. And that's half of his 3-plus earned run games coming in just the last 2 starts. As he only did it twice before his last 2. So not fun here for Parker Messick. And he's also just fanned 4 in each of his last 3 games. This is a product here of the changeup just not fooling any Yankee batters. I mean, we're talking 1 CSW on 27th thrown, right? Did not earn a whiff on that. Was a called strike. So I don't think that's going to last, because the Yankees seemingly just were on top of the pitch. They were very aware that it was coming a ton of the time. And he also was throwing 92.3 last time out. This was 94.8, the hardest four-seamer he's had all season. So, yes, this was a bad game, and I get that, but I kind of feel like I'm not worried about Parker Messick. He's throwing harder. He put his changeups kind of where you want him to, and the Yankees were on it for whatever reason. I feel like this was just a bad day, and I'm going to start him against the Brewers. Framber Valdez against the Twins. Guess what? He didn't have his curveball, so it wasn't very good. 5 innings, 400 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 2 Ks. We have a lot of hipsters right now. We got Robbie Ray. We've got Michael King. We've got Framber Valdez. We got Freddy Peralta. All these dudes, you're just like, what do we do with them? And I'm going to tell you right now, you can drop them. You know, you aren't a good fantasy baseball player if you've never made a bad drop, right? It's all about the probabilities of it. And winning now is more important than winning later. So do that if you need to. Now, I do think that Framber Valdez at some point this year will snap back into place, and maybe it is as soon as going into Houston. He's going to have a lot of emotion, adrenaline there. Maybe that will all of a sudden get him back into the groove. Jake Bennett against the Rays in Tropicana, 5 innings, 4 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. That is, okay. Jake Bennett actually could be a swatch. 4 seamers upstairs, changeups down. That's awesome. And he would have allowed 0 walks if not for the intentional walk to Caminero near the end of the 5th. But he doesn't really have any breaking balls yet that are great, and only seeing 1 sweeper and 1 cutter to lefties across 14 thrown to them. Yeah, that needs to be better. To be a proper swatch, you have to have that that attack against left-handers. So he doesn't have that yet. He's not ready for your rosters, but it's over 7 feet of extension. And I'm curious to see how this develops inside the Red Sox rotation. Max Scherzer had a still ill and wasn't very good against the Phillies, and at least he had a 13% swing strike rate across all 4 pitches, but I'm not really going to go after this. I don't think that it's worth your time. David Peterson absolutely isn't worth your time. You already knew that. 3.2 innings of 600 runs. You didn't start him, please. Okay, good. Don't do that. Then you have Ryan Nelson against the Marlins. 4 innings, 700 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. I'm going to get this out of the way first. It was really just a bad inning where he allowed home runs, okay? 2 home runs, and that's that. However, he has failed you in the strikeout department. It is cratered. He hasn't gone higher than 3 strikeouts in any of his last 5 games. Oh my gosh. The biggest thing I'm seeing there is that the slider has lost a lot of its drop, about 4 inches worth since the beginning of the year. We're seeing more like 5 to 7 inches of vert versus the 1 to 2 inches of vert earlier on. And that was a problem here. One, the home runs was off of it. He had 4 hits on 6 in play, and 5 out of 6 were hard contact of those balls in play. We've also seen 3 straight games of that worst movement and bad CSW. So I can't be in on this. I do believe the 4-seamer is still very good. He hasn't really gotten the same success with it lately, and I think it's because he's not really having anything else to pair it with, and he's not locating it exactly right at the top of the zone as we've seen in the past. And I have overlooked it because he's had such a good schedule. There was the Giants and Rocky Road and going into Seattle and Miami in here. And of course there was the Dodgers last time, but that was a good start. It could be the Angels bringing him back into form. Maybe, but you might want to be careful with that one. And yes, of course, like the others, you can drop him. He just hasn't had the strikeout rate for a while now, and it's just, I wish I had dropped him before. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. There will be no Plus Pitch podcast tomorrow because I'm going to be flying to Kansas City, but we'll be back on the normal schedule on Monday. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock. May your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.